read today's scripture. We're in John. Now, last week I made a mistake. I pulled a passage out of John 3, and that's what we preached on. So forgive me. I like what I posted online this week. I'm not perfect, but I have a really awesome wife that keeps me in line. And so the first thing on the way home, she said, "You realize you preached out of the wrong passage this week." It's like, thanks. So this week, hopefully I'm out of John 1 like I'm supposed to be. John chapter 1, and I'll be reading verses 35 through 42. And just follow along with me. "The next day, John the Baptist, was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following. He says, 'What do you want?' he asked them. They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come and see,' he replied. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of those two who heard John's testimony and who followed Jesus. He first found his brother Simon and said, 'Hey, we found the Messiah,' which is translated the Christ. Andrew brought him to Jesus, who looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which is translated as Peter." Let's pray. Father, we pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, that you will bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The title of today's message is "Come and See." This whole idea of inviting people to join with us on our journey to discover God, our journey to get to know Jesus better. And in a message, this is a better message than what many churches have tried to give. The whole thing of come and see who Jesus is. You realize that that is not the message we're giving everyone. That's not the message. If you ask people who don't go to church, who aren't Christ followers, if you ask them, what do Christians believe? Especially us as Protestant evangelical Christians. If they ask the common person who aren't one of us, who are these people and what do they believe? It's scary what they say. They say, "Oh, those are the protesters. Protestant, isn't that what Protestant means? They protest things. They're upset at the way things have been done, and they're protesting." No, that's not who we are. That's never been who we are. Well, aren't we called Protestant? Yes, but it doesn't mean protester. It doesn't mean somebody who's against something. It's from a Latin word. It meant the Latin word that our ancestors embraced as "we're a Protestant" was from the Latin word protestia. Pro, for, and testia means to share. Our ancestors, the original Protestants, weren't against the Catholic Church. That's not what we were about. When Luther nailed the thesis on the door to start the Lutheran Church, basically, he wasn't protesting. He was sharing. It wasn't done in anger. It was like, this is what I believe. This is who I am. This is what God's word teaches. He wasn't protesting anything. It was done out of love, of sharing. Hey, this is what the church... And something you've got to understand, it was Luther's ambition to never split from the Catholic Church. That wasn't what he had originally wanted to do. He thought all Catholics should believe these things. He thought all Christians should be about this stuff. He wasn't protesting. We're not protesters. Another thing, if you ask them what we as evangelicals are, they'll say, "Oh, those are the Bible thumpers. They're the ones that will point the finger at you and say, 'You're a sinner and you're going to hell.'" That's not what I believe. I don't know about you, but I don't believe that people go to hell because they're sinners. I hope not. If so, I don't have a chance. Because guys, I'm a sinner. I have broken every commandment at least once. If not in my deeds, in my heart, in my mind, I've broken them all. I hope God allows sinners into heaven. Oh, I'm hoping. And I believe that he does because of the Lamb of God. See, what we believe isn't one of these negative things that so many people believe. Well, they're homophobic and they hate gay people and they hate effeminate women and they hate this. No, we don't. Jesus is our model. Jesus ate with people that everybody would say was in categories of what we shouldn't be hanging around. He hung around them. That's why the religious people got so mad at him. They were the real protesters. They were the ones pointing the fingers and say, oh, you gotta measure up to us. And deep inside, these people were horrible human beings. But they were the self-righteous with the big headdress, walking around in the pomp and circumstances, pointing the fingers, screaming at sinners. But that's not what Jesus was about. See, us as Christians, we need to be about what Jesus was about. Amen? We need to have the heart and the compassion for people that Jesus had. Our reputation that goes before us doesn't say anything about being someone who is spending time with Jesus. Because if we're spending time with Jesus, we're going to be like Jesus. We're going to be about what Jesus is about. See, he tore up the temple. He didn't tear up a bar. He didn't go into the local bar and blow up the place. He didn't go into a local clinic. There were abortion clinics back then. They were places where they were holding human sacrificing. They were around. Human sacrificing has been around forever. There were places that he could have done, pagan, horrible places. He didn't go there and turn things upside down. He went to the temple where they knew better. He'd go into local churches and turn things up. He wouldn't go into bars. See, again, his heart was for those people that were professing to know God and to love God, to be about the things that God cares about. And that's what he was about. See, the court of the Gentiles that he tore up when he went into the temple and he turned everything upside down and drove out the people selling stuff with whips was the court of the Gentiles. You and me, most of us, I doubt if there's a whole lot of Jews here today. Most of us, our ancestry is Gentile. It was the only place on the whole planet Earth where Gentiles could go to hear the word of God. The only place. And the Jews that didn't like us set up a marketplace so we couldn't hear anything. That made him mad. That made him mad. See, Jesus would be so counter to what so many of us have thought that he would be about. What wouldn't he be, you know, blowing up this and turning? No. He'd be in here trying to get us to be about the things that he wants us to be about. I'm not protesting anything, and I don't hate anybody. Now, do I believe that for us as God's people, there's a standard? Yes, there is, but it's out of love. It's out of love of what works best for his people. He set it up in the Word. He's told us what works best. It just, are we going to trust him enough to do it his way? Or are we going to think that he doesn't know what he's doing and what he's asking us to do is not loving? So all the behavioral things that you and I think that we've got to be on crusades about, really, it's a matter of, do we want to be what he wants to be? One of the worst list of sins, one of them is in Romans 1, where it mentions the homosexuality in Romans 1. You realize that the wrath of God that was poured out was because people did not acknowledge God as God, and they didn't worship his eternal power and divine nature. Instead, they started to worship created things, and God in his anger brought all the nasty stuff. That's where it came from. It says he turned them over. He turned them over to do all the nasty stuff. See, me and my flesh, I want to protest the nasty stuff. But that's not where it's at. Where it's at is getting back to discipling people, say, come and see his eternal power and divine nature revealed in Jesus Christ. See, we're going around with all these little fires that are actually God-initiated. And we're trying to stomp them out. God started all this fire. Why? Because we did not worship him as he is, and he turned us over to these things. The solution isn't to go around and stomp out all the little fires. The solution is for you and I to come before God and to submit and love him, and he changes us. Because we're worshiping him, his divine nature and eternal power, and we're serving him. It's a positive thing. It's a positive thing. Amen? So let's look at some of the details of this passage where it's so simple. And that's why the title of this sermon is Come and See. Come and See. I'm not protesting all these little fires because they're only symptoms of the big issue, which is not worshiping and serving God, but worshiping and serving the creation instead of the Creator. They're symptoms. The problem aren't those things. The problem is, come and see, guys. I'll show you what the solution is. The details. Now, John the Baptist, he proclaims that Jesus is the Lamb of God. Lamb of God is one of the five of God's that is ascribed to Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's the image of God. Image. God's invisible. God doesn't have an image except the Son. You can't take a picture of God, but you can take a picture of the Son because he became flesh and dwelt among us. We talked about that in John 1 earlier. So he is the image of God. He's the Word of God. And a word is a concept or thought organized for the purpose of communication. God is spirit, and the only way to experience God is if he gets unscrambled in a way that you and I get him. That's the Son of God. He's the image of God. He's the Word of God. He is God unscrambled so we can get him. We're created. He's not. That's the problem with mankind, is that we are created beings and we want our God to look and act like us. Someone asked me earlier, well, what's up with Satan? And the reason is Satan has such a destructive ability is his ability to be what we want him to be. He's a God that'll tell you to do whatever you want to do. Because he really doesn't love you. He doesn't care that you end up in addicted, strung out, destroyed life. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to do what feels good. Because he doesn't love you. He doesn't think about the big picture. He wants you to be happy in the moment. So do what feels good. That's the destructive thing about serving him, is he'll let you do anything and everything. And they end up so destroyed and so strung out in a carnage of behavioral decisions because you were following the wrong God. The true God will tell us to do things that is loving to us, that's in our best interest, that's the best way to do things. And again, we can worship and serve the living God, or we can worship and serve this false God that really doesn't care about. He just wants to get back at God. He wants to hurt God. And he does it through us, trying to get us to follow and serve our own flesh, our own things. So again, John the Baptist, the of God's, he is the image of God. He's the Word of God. He's the messenger of God. He's the only being in the whole Bible that never says, well, God told me. He's the only being that can say, I tell you. I tell you the truth. I tell you, the being that we're talking about, this second person, what we call in the Trinity, was in the burning bush, and he said, take off your sandals, because the ground you're on, Moses, is holy ground. Take off your shoes. Why? Because I'm here. I am God. Again, he's the image of God. He's the word of God. He's the messenger of God. He's the son of God. And it's not in the sense that my son is here today, Jesse Wave. My son and I are different beings, okay? The son of God, again, is God. He's the essence of God. But he again, is God in a way that you and I can get, you and I can understand. He is the bridge from the created to the creator. And we talked about this in all of John 1:1. He actually did all the creation. It says, through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. Everything was made by him, through him, for him. He is preeminent before all things. He's the Son of God. And finally, the one that we're at today, the Lamb of God. To a Jew, they would understand this. They would understand the whole aspect of Jesus was sacrificed as the Passover lamb for the sins of the people. Understand that the blood for Passover had to be sprinkled on their doorpost, and that this blood sent a message to the destroying angel not to touch that house. When the angel, the destroying angel, went through Egypt to destroy and kill all the firstborn of everybody, the firstborn and the sons that had the lamb's blood applied to their doorpost got past. The Lamb of God. And John, in the previous passage that we talked about last week, he says this, he adds a little more phrase, not just behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. See, Jesus didn't come to start a religion. He came to die, to pay the price, so that we as created beings can get to our uncreated God. He's the bridge between the created and the uncreated. He is the what makes it possible for you and I to be made where he becomes our daddy, our father, not just God high in the pie up there. I went to a conference this week. And at the conference, it says that most people who go to evangelical churches aren't born again Christians. Most of them are what is called deists, which believes that God wound up the universe and went on vacation. Most Christians in America that go to evangelical churches. And it's a moral therapeutic deism is what the studies, when they ask people what they believed. Moral means that this is a good principles to live by. And if I follow these principles, I'll be a good person. It's about me. It's about me improving my life. That's what it's all about. Me. And therapeutic, oh, it applies to me. It helps me. It encourages me. But that's not what it's about. It's about discovering our uncreated God. In reality, you are not the center of the universe. He is. And true faith starts with surrendering to the Lamb of God and saying, Lamb of God, save me. I sprinkle the blood of you on my doorpost of my heart. Lord, save me. You're the Lamb of God. The next two disciples heard this message of him being the Lamb of God, and they left John to follow Jesus. That's in verse 37. So two disciples, they left John to follow Jesus. These two disciples wanted to be taught and to be with the Messiah. And we talked about what a Messiah was. Messiah was the prophesied rescuer of mankind. It started in the Garden of Eden when Satan tempted Adam and Eve, and God cursed the serpent, Satan, that there will come a seed of the woman who will crush your head. He was the prophesied Messiah. He was going to crush Satan's head. He was going to set up a permanent kingdom of God. And he was going to save all of God's people. He was going to rescue them. He was going to deliver them. This was all prophesied of the Messiah. Well, these two disciples say, "We found him. We found him. We found him." And they went to be with him, to follow him. The next two disciples, they spent the day with Jesus. When was the last time you spent time with Jesus? Well, aren't I doing that right now, preacher? You could be. Not necessarily, though. Remember, most people who go to churches like this are moral therapeutic deists. They're here to make their lives better. They're here to get principles taught from the preacher that will help them to be better employees and better husbands. Because it's all about them. Spending time with Jesus is to sit at his feet and say, "Not my will, but yours be done." To spend time with Jesus is to give up your own dreams and your own goals and your own wishes and to say, "You are alone, or God." Remember all the little fires I talked about earlier? They weren't started because people just were bad. They started because they didn't put God in his proper place. No wonder our churches are getting empty. So many people that go to them already don't even believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sins. Most of them, they don't spend time with Jesus saying, "Lord, what do you have for me? What would you like my life to be like?" Most Christians in America, at least, we don't bother that. Heavy stuff. Heavy stuff for me. I'm really struggling with this whole thing because I'm called out on the carpet because so much of me has been going around stomping out fires to try to cure our society ills through how I vote, through what I stand for, to where I send my money and stuff, to realize that the solution was to get people to come and see Jesus. The solution was living my life in such a way that they are not so turned off by my obnoxiousness. And they see Jesus in me. That's the solution. And I tell you, so much of my life has been spent going around stomping out the fires. And I'm sorry. They spent a day with Jesus. Now, Andrew, after spending a day with Jesus, got so excited that he found his brother Simon, which we know is Peter, and shared with him about Jesus. Again, he just spent time with Jesus. He didn't go to a seminar on right-wing Republican moral majority issues. He spent a day with Jesus. And I don't want to put down if that's who you are, but again, his life was changed because he spent time with Jesus. And again, when you ask a lot of people about what evangelicals are, they go through that. They're gun-toting, Bible-thumping, religious right Republicans. But that's what we're about. That's not that may be something that we participate in, or whatever political party we may have interest in either way. But again, I'm about bringing people to Jesus and not having my life be so annoying that they don't want anything to do with him. Amen? My goal is to get to heaven and to have nobody, not anyone, declare that they don't want to be there because I'm there. He found his brother and said, "Hey, I found him. I found the man. I found the God man. I found the Messiah. I found him. He changed me. Oh, you got to come and see this. Come and see." So he found him. Jesus changed Simon's name to Cephas, which means Peter, which means little rock. Peter, I'm going to transform you from Simon into a rock, a steady person. I am going to change your essence. I'm going to change your core. And Simon Peter is considered one of the greatest of the apostles. He turned this not so-so into a great human being. I changed you, he said. I'm going to change your name. I'm going to transform you. So what can we take away from this story? Many Christians will disagree with this. Because again, most Christians are moral therapeutic deists. And it's all about knowledge. It's all about learning the right way. It's all about behavior modification and doing things God's way. No. Christianity is caught, not taught. I can't teach you into a right relationship with God. I can testify that I have a right relationship with God, but the best I can do for any human being is to say, come and see. Come and see what I found. Examine my life and see that there's something different about me, but not because I'm a moral therapeutic deist that has pulled myself up using God's word. No, I'm a sinner. I've broken everything in God's word. I may have done it this week, some bad things, if not actual, but in my heart. I can be so full of anger at times. You be raised the way I was raised and see if there's not some anger in you. Growing up in orphanages and foster homes and beat, bloody at times by different foster parents. Again, I'm not putting a condoning on it, but I'm saying that I'm broken. And I can't pull myself up using biblical principles. I'm a sinner. But I got the Lamb of God on the doorpost of my heart. And He can save me. Come and see this. See the juvenile delinquent turned preacher. But it's not because I'm so wonderful. It's because I got the blood sprinkled on my doorpost. He saved me. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins. He's the Lamb of God that transforms. He's the Lamb of God that shows you who your Creator is. He's the Lamb of God that takes you into a new relationship and takes out your old nasty heart and puts a new heart in you. It's a life transformation that takes place. It's not getting your doctrine right. Some of the most horrible human beings I know are Bible teachers. That know it all. Oh, they know the Greek. They know the Hebrew. I don't. I never studied Greek or Hebrew officially. I did some self-study. I never studied it. Some of the most horrible people I know in the way they treat others and the way they come across are Bible scholars. You can't get there by that. You got to come to the Lamb of God and have heart transformation. Come and see. Come and see. It's caught, not taught. Amen? Spending time with Jesus transforms you. Spending times with Christians who have it will help you to see that you need to get it. That's what evangelism is. Evangelism is basically, I found something so cool, it changed my life, come and see it. And you disciple them into knowing Him as you have come to know Him and sharing your story and your testimony, and they come to Christ and they get transformed, not because they memorize Bible verses, but because they meet Him who takes away the sins of the world. I hope I'm coming across right. A healthy disciple is a testifying disciple. If you've never shared, if you're scared to live out loud in front of people, there may be something wrong with your relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute, preacher. I grew up in the church. I was baptized at 10. I own 12 different versions of the Bible. I've been sitting in the pew for 50, 60, 70 years. I've heard it all. I know it all. I've been there. You realize that a lot of those folks are going to go into eternity lost because they never spent time with Jesus. They never discovered Him. They never realized they were sinners. So many Christians don't think they're sinners. They think they're saints because of their behavior. I want to tell you, no one gets there by their behavior. No one. The best one among us is not going to be righteous enough from their own behavior to get to the Father. That's why the Lamb of God, He was crucified. He was broken for us. That's why He had to die. A healthy disciple is a discipling disciple, is a testifying disciple. Deep in our hearts, every human being, deep in our hearts, we're looking for someone that is going to save us. We need something. And we try everything else but coming to Jesus. We try everything else. We try every religion from A to Z, the soup and nuts. We try everything, but we don't come to Jesus and say, Lord, save me. Save me. I need your help. But we need it. We all seek it. The nastiest people that you know that are like these little fires, the most horrible human being you can think of, murderers, adulterers, thieves, addicts, anything that you can think of as abhorrent, deep in their heart, they need a Messiah and they want a Messiah. We found Him. We found Him. Deep in our hearts, we're all seeking. We have to use our realm of influence to bring others to Jesus. Come and see. Evangelism's just as simple as that. It doesn't mean that you're going to get up in a pulpit and do what I do. I have a spiritual gift that allows me to do this. I have lots of training and lots of experience that allows me to do this. But that's not what God's probably calling you to do. He's calling you to A, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, where you have actually found the Lord. You have a relationship with Him. You spend time with Him. And then you live in such a way that people are going to say, what makes you, Doc, so special? Ron, what makes you so special? Because people who have spent time with Jesus are going to stick out. There's going to be something about us that they're going to say, wow, whatever you're on, I want it. I want a prescription for that. And you find those people that are doing that and you give it to them. You give them what you found. Not church attendance, not the right Bible version, not giving money to the church, not supporting missionaries. No, that's not what saves you. What saves you is you have found the Lord. You spent time with Jesus. And it's a simple invitation today. If you've never done this, but Pastor, I was baptized at 6. Nice. But did you ever discover Jesus? Do you have a relationship with Him? Have you met the Lord? Have you met Him? Find a Christian. Find me. Find one of the other leaders in the church and say, hey, how do I discover Jesus? Find a Christian that you know that maybe it brought you here, or a Christian that you know, even your wife or spouse, and say, hey, how did you come to know the Lord? And they'll pray with you and they'll lead you into discovering the Lord. Come and see. Come and see. Oh, God. We make it so hard. We build buildings. We start seminaries. We do all these Bible training videos and DVDs. And it's so simple as, I found Him, come and see. Help us to get back to simplicity. Help us to work on our own discipleship of spending time with You. Do knowing Your Word. Your Word is important. Do know what, you know, what is godly behavior, what is not. But Lord, help us to get back to acknowledging Your eternal power and divine nature revealed through Jesus Christ. And that is enough to save us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.